Now, I wonder how many of us, when we've picked up a biro to write, have ever stopped to think about this particular invention. As a journalist, now in his 50th year in the role, Terry Redhead has been looking at handwriting and at a particular Hungarian invention which proved so important for the 20th century and onwards. Here is Terry's tribute to László Biro.
A pen is usually just a pen. Most households have several around on tables or in drawers. They're everywhere, until you need one in a hurry, and then you can't find one for looking. We know that ballpoints are often referred to as biros. Well, this month, November, sees the 75th anniversary of when biro ballpoint pens first went on sale in the UK. The first ballpoint pen, with a steel ball bearing held in place by a socket, was developed in the late 19th century by John Loud. Unfortunately, his invention didn't work very well on paper and was used mainly for marking leather. Then, in the 1930s, a newspaper editor in Budapest named László Biro decided he had had it with trying to use fountain pens in his work. He felt fountain pens ink took too long to dry and was easily smeared when taking notes at the fast pace of a journalist. But Biro, a Hungarian who dabbled in medicine, hypnosis, the oil industry, motor racing and painting, noticed that the ink that was used to print newspapers dried very quickly. He later recalled, "It got me thinking how this process could be simplified right down to the level of an ordinary pen." He tried the ink in a fountain pen, but it was too thick to flow properly. So he began experimenting with other delivery methods. He and his brother Georg, a chemist, eventually settled on the ball-bearing system. Biro took out a British patent in June 1938. But he and Georg were forced to flee from Hungary during the Second World War and settled in Argentina, where they began small-scale production in 1944. Pricing the prototypes at £27 each under the name Itapen. Their first bulk order was from the RAF, which needed more than 30,000 biros so that navigators could write at high altitude, where fountain pens tended to leak. Unfortunately for Biro, his invention began to attract the attention of competitors. Biro eventually sold his patent to Baron Marcel Biche of France for $2 million. About £11.6 million in today's money. In 1950, Biche, who later dropped the H to become Bic, launched his own cheap, disposable, mass-produced ballpoint pen. It conquered the market, and in 1965 the French government approved its use in schools, with other countries following suit. The Bic crystal was reliable and cheap, and by the end of the decade it was selling across Europe and the US. Within 50 years, the company announced it had sold 100 billion pens. More than 200 million of those are sold each year in Britain, each one a biro in the mind of the buyer. Biro died in 1958. His daughter Mariana says, "The biro was my father's greatest invention. I'm so proud that the name lives on. He used to hear people say the ballpoint was ruining writing skills. He would smile and say, 'Well, writing comes from the heart. If we can help the hand to perform the task, what is so wrong with that?'" The design has evolved. The ball is now made from a tungsten carbide pellet, which is ground between plates using a grinding paste to form the spherical sphere, a process that can last up to 60 hours. The finished ball is less than 1 millimetre in diameter and as hard as diamond, ensuring that it will not pit or develop flat areas on its surface during use. The barrel was made hexagonal for a better grip and has a small hole to allow air into the capillary tube, so the rotating ball creates only a partial vacuum, ensuring the ink flows properly. László Biro worked on more than 100 inventions and pursued a career as a surrealist painter. He died at home in Buenos Aires, and every year Argentinian Inventors' Day is celebrated on his birthday, September the 29th. As a journalist and someone who actually loves the art of writing, I always need to know where I've left the pen I'm using, usually a cheap throwaway ballpoint. I am far too mean to misplace or lose any of my good pens. I can't actually remember many times when I've not been accompanied by a pen. Certainly throughout school days, which ended a long time ago, and most definitely never during my working career. That would be like being a chauffeur without a car. I've always wanted to have good handwriting. I've always wanted words to look neat and tidy on the paper. I used meticulously the blotting paper when first writing with a proper fountain pen at school. I didn't mind getting home with ink stains on my hands. It was like a badge of honour. In school, I often thought making my work look neat and organised was important as the actual words I had written. I think it is because whenever you write, it is always for a reason. To impart information to someone. To communicate with someone. To try to make sure someone is happy. To try to sort out problems or issues. There's always a reason, and most importantly, it is permanent until the receiver decides otherwise. I don't like to see the act of handwriting ebbing away. With computers, tablets, phones and such, it is inevitable that using a keyboard will become, if it hasn't already, a much more common skill than actually writing. It is a fact that you just have to accept, albeit reluctantly. Can there be anything better than receiving a letter, birthday card or Christmas card from a grandchild who has clearly made an enormous effort to write your name, a message and their own name? I had to learn shorthand when training to be a reporter journalist all those years ago. I didn't really like that. I actually enjoyed trying to write down fully every word, even though, of course, that was impossible. I love leaving written notes. I love making written notes for myself. I love writing lists. Laszlo Bajró, now I know a little more about you. You're one of my 20th century heroes. Thanks for the pen. I'll try not to lose it. I would have made a terrible mess with a quill.
The history of so many objects which we take for granted is fascinating, I think.